18, verses 1 through 6. The word which came to Jeremiah saying, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words." Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a house, and behold, he wrought a work on wheels. The vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, "O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter? Saith the Lord, behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel." How many here like to be flexible? And how many here like to be nailed down by a schedule, have to have a fixed schedule? A couple of you, but pretty much what I've seen is most people like to be flexible. When we go on vacation, I get lectured and told, say, "Hey, I don't want to be locked down at any times. We're on vacation. We have to be at work at a certain time every day. We have this and we have that. We're on vacation. I don't want to make any hard plans." I like that to some extent, but then there's times that I like, I want to go do this, and it would be better if we do it at this time, because by this time, everybody's going to be there, and I want to beat the crowd, because if I get there with the crowd, I'm going to get grumpy, because nobody else should be there, because I plan to be there that day. So I need to be there before everybody else is. So I want to be there at a certain time. We would go to Orlando to one of the parks or something. We'd pull into the parking lot, and it'd be lined up. Be like, "Are you serious? Why is everybody here? You're kidding me, right? Why does everybody have to come today?" And in the voice, I have wonderful teenagers. "Dad, we're here." "Right. So nobody else should be here. I don't want them here." No. If you've ever been on a a cruise boat, you know that the spacious cabins that they provide you with, it's hard for somebody who wakes up early to be with a family that wants to sleep in. Once again, Joel, lay out everything you need the night before so you don't go having to dig for it and wake us all up. Okay, so that's no problem. "Well, I got to brush my teeth, get ready for the day. You get in that lovely, lovely, spacious bathroom. You turn on the faucet, sounds like Niagara Falls. You flush the toilet, sounds like you're getting sucked out into the Atlantic Ocean. You hit your knee on the counter, it sounds like you're playing tennis with bowling balls. You wake out and you're like..." Then all of a sudden she rolls over and she's like, "Really?" "I tried to be quiet, sorry." Then you try to ease the door shut and the airlock, squop! Forget it, I'm done. But we like to be flexible when we go on vacation. We don't want to wake up at a certain time. We don't want to have to be nailed down to certain things. Being flexible is good. We see here in our text that God had given Jeremiah specific instructions in order to hear the word for the people of Israel. Israel had fallen once again into an adulterous state toward God. They had allowed vanity to creep in, idol worship to take place. They began to allow the imaginations of their hearts to influence their decisions. It's in Jeremiah 17 that God tells us that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. God, through Jeremiah, lets Israel know that when they put their trust in man and when they begin to allow their flesh to take control, that they will be cursed. And Israel was back then and is still God's chosen people. And from the time of Abraham, God has always had a purpose for Israel. But because of their carnal and fleshly decisions, God would allow armies to come in and steal the crops and the livestock and cause a great famine to hit Jerusalem and Judah to try to get them to see that they need God. Sorry, they said that wasn't going to work. It works. It caught me off guard. I was like, whoa. Sorry, it's like squirrel with me sometimes. Squirrel. I apologize. So that's why when y'all's phones ring, I have no problem calling it out because it's like, yeah, what? Finally turning to God, they would once again cry out unto him for mercy and for his mighty hand to deliver them out of this place that they had allowed themselves to be in. God gave specific instructions that they would have to begin to keep the Sabbath holy and make God number one once again. Which now this brings us to what we just read in Jeremiah 18. In verse 1, the Lord instructs Jeremiah to go to the potter's shop. And it's here where the Lord says he will speak to Jeremiah for Israel. Then when Jeremiah reaches the potter's shop, he finds this man busy at work. And it says that the potter had clay on his wheel, working it into a vessel. And I'm sure at this point in time, The potter had a specific vessel in mind that he was working towards. The Bible does not state what it was, but this man didn't just throw a lump of clay on and be like, all right, let's start spinning and see what comes up. He had a specific purpose for that lump of clay. But something was in that clay that caused it not to want to cooperate. Maybe it was a stone. Or a hardened piece of clay. Maybe the clay was too wet. Whatever the case was, that clay was not willing to cooperate with what the potter had in mind to make. So the Bible tells us that the potter basically just gave up. And the Bible says that it was marred in the potter's hand, so he crushed it, took it back to its starting form. Whatever it was, he was done with it. How many have been there when you've been working on something, and it's like you just have to walk away because if you didn't, any ounce of Holy Ghost you had may have just gone out the window. Those prefabbed entertainment centers where you twist the screw just right and it wallers out the hole and now you've got a door that just flops up and down. Lovely particle board. Or whatever it is. I had an instance where just recently CT helped me fix my window in my van, and even though he helped me and he was instructing me and helping me, I was like, yeah, I did this. This is awesome. I feel good about myself. So we Zoe and I jump in the van, we leave CT's house, we get to the grocery store and go inside, come out, hit the remote to unlock it. And we checked everything but one thing before we left CT's house, and I go pull on the door handle. You gotta be kidding me. The door don't open. I hit that stupid cable somewhere and the door wouldn't open. So I called CT. I was like, I don't know what happened. We must have hit the cable or something. And so I took it home, and sure enough, it came detached. Well, the access point that they had for this little piece that was literally about that big, little just round little clip, was not big enough for full-figured man hands. That little clip was not made for people with sausage fingers like myself to hold on to that thing and try to finagle that thing and clip it around. I was getting frustrated, and it was not working. It was hot. I was sweating. My poor son comes out, Dad, what you? No, go away. Go away. Nope, not right now. Not now. When things don't cooperate like we want them to, it gets frustrating. And you want to just throw it down, throw it across the room, crush it, whatever the case may be. Just as the case with this potter, clay was not cooperating. But he had something that I didn't have, and that was patience. And he said, you know what? I'm going to take it back. I'm going to crush this thing, and I'm going to bring it back to its starting form. And yes, it may not work as this pitcher that I was wanting to make. And maybe I just need to make this a plate, and was pleased with it. We want to fight against God when he starts to shape us into what his purpose is. We want to tell God we know better than what we know what our purpose should be, better than what you do. And so we want to fight him on this. And we want to become kind of a pain to where now he has to bring us back to this starting form, if we'll allow him. I don't know if some of y'all may remember, we had a missionary here. This was probably, well, I could tell you, it's probably exactly 4 years ago. And his name was Brother Kulbaugh. He was to Thailand. This man began to kind of tell how he came to be a missionary to Thailand. And he started talking about how he would pray and he began to get this burden for Thailand and it wouldn't leave him alone and he would wake up at night and finally he said, yes, I will go. So he goes to General Conference and Brother Kulbaugh is there representing Thailand and he gets approached by a pastor and he starts talking to Brother Kulbaugh and he said, when did you decide that you wanted to go to Thailand? Brother Kulbaugh said, well, it was around 1989. I felt led that that's where I was supposed to go. And I said yes, and the rest is history. The pastor said, God called me to Thailand that same year. I said no. And it hit me. And I remember what Brother Kulbaugh would say. It was very, very simple message. Nothing, I mean, was not what you'd call dynamic by any means, but just what he was saying. And he said, you know, no matter what, God's purpose is going to happen. God's will happen. He had originally called this pastor to Thailand, but he said no. So God moved on, found somebody that said, yes, I'm willing to do that. And it hit home with me because I'm thinking, how many times have I said no and missed out on such an amazing opportunity to do something for God, and he's moved on to someone else when I could have been that vessel of honor, when I could have been used by God in a mighty way, but I decided, no, that's not me. I don't want to do that. Now, I don't believe that God was finished with this pastor. In fact, Brother Kulbaugh stated he was a pastor of a church. But somewhere I believe God had to bring him back, this pastor, to a starting form and say, okay, you said no to what I originally had for you, what I originally wanted you to do, but I can still use you if you're willing to let me. I can still use you for my purpose, if you will let me. It may not be exactly what I had in mind where I wanted you to go, but because I'm merciful, because I'm loving, because I have a world to reach, I will use you in this city. There comes a point where we must fall to our knees and say, God, break me, reshape me however you see fit. I don't care if I just need a little bit more pressure with your hand on this side or maybe to push in and to make whatever it is you want me to be. Whatever it is, God, I want to be shapeable. I want to be pliable in your hands. I want to do what you want me to do. I want to be the vessel that you want me to be. But oftentimes we just fight against that because it's out of our comfort zone. Because it's not exactly what we had in mind we were going to do for God. If we're going to answer the call of God and truly fulfill his purpose in our lives, then we must come to a place where our spirit aches after the will of God. Where it aches after what he wants us to be. That nothing else matters. That no career, that no extracurricular activities, no nothing matters except for what God wants for our lives. The moment that we tell ourselves that we are good and that we have everything together, it's in that moment that we need to hit our knees in submission to God. It's when we are broken before God that we get his attention. We have to be willing to be broken. We have to be. Being broken doesn't just happen once. I don't know how many times in my life that I've had to come to a place of brokenness before God. Because my flesh gets in the way. Because my pride is in the way. Regardless of what it is, I had to be broken multiple times. And still to this day. When we are broken, we become a living sacrifice unto him. Psalms 51, verse 15 through 17 says, this is the New Living Translation, unseal my lips, O Lord, that my mouth may praise you. You do not desire a sacrifice, or I would offer one. You do not want a burnt offering. The sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart, O God. When it was time for sacrifice in the Old Testament, this was not a sightly and pleasurable thing to watch. It was messy. It was smelled of burnt animal hair and guts and blood, and it was just messy and nasty. But the outcome was a beautiful thing. If we're going to get closer to God, then we must be willing to get messy before God. We have to be willing to pour it all out on an altar of sacrifice so that the Lord can do a work that only he can do. We must be broken before God if we want to be used by God. If you let him, God will mold you into something better than you could ever imagine or that you could ever accomplish in your life. The things that you could achieve and go through in schooling or in your career doesn't ever amount up to what God can do through you and what God can do to others through you. Not to beat a dead horse, but when I was called into the ministry at 16, most of you know the story, I ran. And literally from about 1997 to 2005, I ran the opposite direction. 2003, I married April. And, you know, when you first did it, you're like, man, I know things are looking up. Things are doing great. And if it's all right with you, I'll be a little bit more transparent than probably what I have in the past. There's kids aren't in here. My kids aren't in here. But from about 2005 to 2009, I spiraled downhill fast, hit rock bottom, got into alcohol, just didn't care. Didn't want to have to deal with this call that was on my life. I wanted to bury it. For fighting it for so long, it was like I didn't even care that it affected my family. Everything falling apart. I never forget. It was a tough When I say it was rock bottom, it was rock bottom. And I remember falling to my knees. I was in bedroom by myself, and I was at a point of brokenness. And I remember falling to my knees and saying, God, I will do whatever you want me to do if you will just help me put my life back together. If you will save my family, if you will save my marriage, if you will help me to be a better dad, a better husband. But see, God had to take me down to the absolute lowest form. I know, and I truly believe with all my heart, God had a purpose for me before that. God had, even, yes, I answered the call now, but there were things that God wanted me to do that because I said no to the call of God and because I ran the opposite direction, that God said, well, I'll find somebody else who is going to do that now. But if you come back, if you make the right decision when you hit that rock bottom, I have a purpose for you. I have a plan for you. I can still use you as a vessel. I just want to tell somebody here tonight that no matter what you've done, no matter what you've done in your past, no matter what your past whether you're dwelling in regret, no matter what you've gone through, no matter what you're going through right now, and no matter what even you've brought upon yourself, we heard Sunday morning that there are things that we bring upon ourselves that God said, this isn't me, but we bring it upon ourselves. It doesn't matter if you've brought it upon yourself. If you are willing to be broken before God and allow God to bring you back down to the starting form, He will reshape you into something that is good. He will reshape you into something for His purpose. But you have to be willing to be shapeable in the potter's hands. Philippians 4 and 13 gives us encouragement in saying, I can do all things through Christ, which gives me strength. Well, I can't do this. You're right, you can't. But if you allow God to give you strength, if you allow God to guide you, you can do anything. Verse 6 of our opening passage says, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter? Saith the Lord, behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. You see, we tend to question God when we feel that He's shaping us in a certain direction, saying, what are you doing, God? Why is this happening? Some of that's natural. And I don't think some of that is bad. It's just human nature thinking, how many times have you been there and thinking, oh boy, Lord, what are you doing? and just kind of want, but then there are those questions of arrogance where we almost get an arrogant attitude saying, God, what in the world are you doing? You know, I don't do this. You know, I'm not, this isn't me. Why, this makes no sense at all. Why are you doing this, God? And we, in our arrogant mindset, want to tell God, no, you don't really know what my purpose is. I know what my purpose is. We won't admit that, but that's what we're saying. God, you've heard pastors say, you know what, God, thank you. I got this. Isaiah 45, verse 9 through 11. What sorrow awaits those who argue with their creator? Does a clay pot argue with its maker? Does the clay dispute with the one who shapes it, saying, stop, you're doing it wrong? Does the pot exclaim, how clumsy can you be? Verse 10 says, how horrible it would be if a newborn baby said to its father, why was I born? Or if it said to its mother, why did you make me this way? That is what the Lord says, the Holy One of Israel and your Creator. Do you question what I do for my children? Do you give me orders about the work of my hands? We have to remain pliable in the potter's hands without question. We have to submit. We have to make sure that we are in line with the Spirit and our flesh doesn't take over to the point where he has to break us once again. Sometimes we get caught up in worrying about what God is shaping others to be. And we sit back and we're like, well, I wish I had half the gifts that person had. Shoot, I didn't get a title. Obviously, I must be doing something wrong. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 20 through 21. In a wealthy home, some utensils are made of gold and silver, and some are made of wood and clay. The expensive utensils are used for special occasions, and the cheap ones are for everyday use. If you keep yourself pure, you will be a special utensil for honorable use. Your life will be clean, and you will be ready for the master to use you for every good work. Maybe some of us don't get used for special occasions because we've proven ourselves unworthy of such a privilege. Maybe God's looking down and say, you know what, if you wouldn't worry about what your brother's doing or what your sister's doing, I could use you in the same way. What's it matter what we're doing in the kingdom as long as we're being used in the kingdom? Not everybody is made to be in the highest level of leadership. Not everybody is made to be, or maybe some are, and they're not necessarily need to be at the lowest. Whatever the case is, wherever you find yourself, as long as you're doing work in the kingdom, as long as you're being a vessel of honor in the kingdom, that's all that matters. Because with some of these positions comes great responsibility. And one of the things that keeps ringing in my head is when I hear pastor and thinking about the weight that's on his shoulders of the responsibility for this body. Do I want that responsibility? No. I love y'all. Do I want to be responsible for your souls every day and every time we come in here like this man is? No, I don't. I don't mean that mean. I don't mean that harsh. I'm just being honest with you. We have to be careful. When we start wanting things, when we start wishing that we were doing things or wishing for this title or wishing for this position or wondering why this person's getting it and I'm not, let's step back and think, wait a minute. You know what? Maybe they can handle this responsibility better than I can. And I need to be okay with that. Jeremiah 18, 6 through 11. Jeremiah shared the word he received from God with the Israelites. Starting with verse 6. O Israel, can I not do with you as this potter has done to this clay? As the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand. If I announce that a certain nation or kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down, and destroyed, but then that nation renounces its evil ways, I will not destroy it as I had planned. And if I announce that I will plant and build up a certain nation or kingdom, but then that nation turns to evil and refuses to obey me, I will not bless it as I said I would. Therefore, Jeremiah, go and warn all Judah and Jerusalem. Say to them, this is what the Lord says. I am planning disaster for you instead of good. So turn from your evil ways, each of you, and do what is right. He gave Israel two options. Turn from their evil, God would make them prosper, they would be his people. Or continue in evil, God would remove his hand off of them to perish in their own demise. When I read this, I was quickened to the word of God, or the word that God gave Pastor just weeks ago. And if you've been a Tuesday night prayer, you've heard it. But if you haven't, Pastor said this a couple weeks ago. But the word was, there are those being influenced by spirits. Those being influenced must reject them, reject their comforts, and allow the Holy Spirit to transform their mind, heart, and body. If you do not, you will self-destruct. If you will not allow the Spirit to deliver you and the body to minister healing to you, the Lord will remove this infection from the body. I will deliver, I will heal, or I will remove. I am the Lord. You say, why does that remind him? Because Israel had a choice. We have a choice. In the path that we're headed, there are those of you, those of us that are being called to fulfill the mission of this body to this region. But God's word has come forth and it says there are those of us that are dealing with things, that have spirits that we are dealing with. And now the choice has become clear to us that are you willing to reject them so that you can be used for his purpose? Are you willing to allow the body to minister healing to you so that you can achieve the purpose of God? Or are you going to let him remove as of an infection? Israel's response in verse 12 is chilling. And they said, that is hopeless. So we will walk according to our own plans, and we will everyone obey the dictates of his evil heart. Israel, give up. It's not worth it. We're always going to deal with this. We're always going to be the ones where we have to constantly be rescued and cry out. They were content in living in their lives bound by idolatry, bound by their own lust. In order to be delivered, you must be willing to be shaped by God. You must be willing to allow him to bring you back to a starting form and shape you for his purpose. The potter had the power to take that lump of clay that was not cooperating and just take it and say, you know what? This is useless. I've tried and I've tried and it's not cooperating. I'm done with it. God has the power to look at us as individuals and say, I've tried. I've spoken a word to you through your pastor, through your leaders. I've tried to minister to you. I've done everything I possibly can, but you just won't submit. You just won't cooperate into what I have planned for you. God's not going to make us. He give us free will. He might pressure a little bit and say, no, no, let's try this. But ultimately, it's our decision. What are we going to allow God to do? Are we going to push him to the point where God says, you know what? I'm sorry. You're just not willing to cooperate. I'll set you over here. When you're willing, I'll be here. Hopefully it's not too late. What decision will you make as we go into this new realm of being apostolic and reaching our region? Will you allow God to shape you into a purpose that may be out of your comfort zone? I know he's already been doing that to me. Are you going to be okay with that? Are you going to be okay with maybe needing to be brought down to your original form and saying, nope, you know what? I need to go through this process again. I need God to, if you've ever watched how they make clay, they sift through it. They get water and they put it in a bucket. Then they run it through screens to get the rocks, the pebbles out as much as they can, and the sticks and whatnot. And then they let it dry and it's in clumps. Then they take a hammer and they literally hammer out the clumps. Because if they don't, those clumps that have air in them and that get into the clay and they start to shape things and they put it in the fire and they're finished with their vessel, then they go to use it, that air causes a weakness in that vessel, which causes the vessel to break. Be willing to go through the process. In Pentecostal culture, I believe that we have not allowed things to go through the process long enough. Hence why we have preachers and pastors and families that are destroyed. Because maybe somebody should have just let them stay on that wheel just a little longer. Or somebody maybe should have taken just a little extra time to hammer out some of those air pockets. To make sure that when they put it through the fire and they're ready to showcase it, and here it is, that it would serve its purpose and not break. Where are we tonight as individuals? Maybe you're at the point where you're just not sure because it's out of your comfort zone. And it's like, ah. And it's that innocent question, Lord, are you sure you know what you're doing? Let him shape you. Put your trust in God. Let him shape you into what he wants. But maybe you're the one that's sitting here like I was, that is running from what your purpose is. And you're saying, God, I'm not ready for this. I can't. No, I'm not. Submit to the potter. Maybe you're the one that's saying, there's no point. It's hopeless. I don't know that I'm ready to give up what I'm battling. I don't know that I'm ready to give up some of these things I'm dealing with, that I'm bound by. The only way you're going to be delivered is if you're willing to say, I'm done. Nobody can force you. God's not even going to force you. It has to be your decision to say, I'm done. I'm ready for God to make me into something. I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's a plate. I don't care if it's a little cup. I don't care if it's a pitcher. Make me into something that you can use. Let's stand. As we go forward, please remember what the word of the Lord has given to us. That he will heal and he will deliver. But if you're not willing to say, I'm done, shape me, God, he will remove. Like, man, why you got to end on something like that? Because it's that serious. It is that serious. I don't want to be removed from what God wants me to do. I don't want to be removed from the direction that God is taking this church. Does it go against every, like, how I was raised and in the culture, the Pentecostal culture that I was raised? Absolutely, but thank God. I'm okay with that. Do I sometimes kind of revert back to that sometimes in my mindset? Yeah, it's hard to erase 37 years of it. But I'm willing to. I'm trying. I wonder if we could just take a moment to pray. Not for each other, but for ourselves. And just pray, God, I want to be reshaped. I want to be shaped into what you want, God. I don't want to be cast out. If I need to be broken, God, break me. Father, right now, I pray, Lord, that you would shape me for your purpose, oh God. God, if I need to be broken, if I need to be smashed and brought down so that you might be able to reshape me into something, because I can't get out of the way, because my flesh won't get out of the way, God, then so be it. Break me, Lord God. Break me into submission, that I would submit to your will, that I would submit to your authority, oh God. God, I need you. God, I want to be used by you in these last days, Lord. You are coming back so soon. And God, I want to be used to reach those around me. I want to be used, oh God, as an example, a conduit for you to flow through, Lord. And the people that I come across, the people that I work with, Lord. I pray, God, that you would anoint this body. God, that you would anoint each and every person here right now, Lord, with a spirit of submission, God, with a desire to be shaped into your purpose, God, not into what we want or what we think, but God, to be shaped into what you want. In the name of Jesus. Amen.